Good morning.
Good morning.
I just have to go back one. Wait. Oh, I know. Wait. Okay. That is a funny picture.
Oh, that's a great picture.
That is a very good picture. Okay. Let me get this. First things first. Okay. I know what you all are looking for. It's never the talk. People come up and talk about the joke. All right. This joke is called The Wreck. All right? A lady had just totaled her car in a horrific accident. Miraculously, she managed to pry herself from the wreckage without a scratch and was applying fresh lipstick when the state trooper arrived. "My goodness," said the state trooper. "Your car looks like an accordion that was stomped on by an elephant. Are you okay, ma'am?" "Why, yes, officer, I'm just fine," the lady chirped. "Well, how in the world did this happen?" the officer asked as he looked at this wrecked car. "Officer," she said, "it was the strangest thing. I was driving along the road and I started to doze off. And when I woke up, there was this tree from out of nowhere and it popped up in front of me. So I swerved to the right and there was another tree. So I swerved to the left and there was another tree. And I swerved to the right and there was another tree. And I swerved to the left." And he interrupts her and he says, "Ma'am, there isn't a tree on the road for 30 miles or more. That was your air freshener swinging back and forth on your rearview mirror." All right. So before I put on the timer here, I'm just going to tell you the name of this talk today is supposed to be "Don't Throw the Baby Out with the Bathwater." How many of you don't know what that means? Anybody? Some people earlier said they didn't, and I just want to say a few people didn't. Okay, so I just want to let you know it's an expression that originally is a German proverb. And the first recorded use of this expression is from 1512. And according to Wikipedia, which of course is accurate in all ways, it says that it means, is an expression for an avoidable error in which something good is eliminated when trying to get rid of something bad. So in other words, if you're trying to get rid of something in your life, don't throw the good out with the bad. That's what that means. I'm using it very, very loosely because I was trying to think about, I was trying to think about something when I thought of the title, and what came to me was this. Sometimes our lives can feel very, very complicated, very complicated. And sometimes we feel like we need to come up with a complicated solution for our complicated lives. And I was listening to a talk from this shaman, and he was saying something really interesting. He was talking about how complicated life feels for people, and he said the more complicated your life feels, the simpler the solution actually is. And he said what we do is we throw out the simple solutions because we feel like they're too simple to actually work for us. And he said he works with heads of countries and corporations and royalty and stuff, and he said people are always amazed. They come in and they have stacks, reams of paper saying this is my problem, and he will write like two words on a piece of paper and say this is your solution, and they're like, but he always works. So I thought that's what this talk is about today. And you know, when I was putting it together in my head, I thought, I don't feel like giving one of these really intense deep talks today. It's summer. And this was the 4th of July week. I want to do something fun today. Totally, completely fun. So we're going to have a fun talk today. And what we're going to do is I'm going to talk about some situations, some life situations, and give you life hacks. Now, when my mother said to me, "What are you talking about on Sunday?" I said, "I'm going to talk about life hacks." And she goes, "That's terrible." And I said, "What's terrible about it?" And she goes, "Why are you talking about people hacking each other?" I said, "No, Mom, that's not what hacks means now. Hacks means, if you don't know, hacks means shortcuts. simple shortcuts. So sometimes I get these emails, or you'll see headlines on websites that say, you know, 8 hacks for your smartphone. And you press that, and it gives you ideas, shortcuts on how to use your iPhone better and make life easier for you. So these are life hacks. These are just simple solutions to everyday situations that we get in. And they seem simple, but as the shaman said, the simple solutions usually are the most profound for us. And I think in part because we can remember to do them, we know how to do them. When things are complicated, we tend to start off strong and kind of fade out in the middle. But when something is simple, we can stay with it. And that is a very powerful, powerful situation. So the other thing I should tell you about these life hacks is I have 7 life situations. And the inspiration for these 7 life situations was a very interesting and intelligent and wonderful group of people, beautiful people, you. You all are the inspiration for these 7 situations because I listen to you and I hear the things that you say, and I'm an inspiration for one of them myself, but these are things that I have heard from you all. So you might find yourself saying, oh, that's something that's going on in my life. How do I know that? Because I heard you say it. I either heard you say it to each other, or people come up and say, this is what's going on in my life. So you all are the inspiration for these hacks. So I have 7 of them. So number 7 life hack is drama. Anybody can relate to any drama in their lives anywhere? You don't have to raise your hand. I already know. So drama is this. You know, drama means drama at work, drama with your family, drama with your friends, drama in life in general. Watching TV news, you see lots of drama. Drama, 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 drama. Now, interestingly enough about drama, some of us feed off of drama because drama gives you energy. It's not good energy in the way that white sugar will also give you, you know, like a pop of energy, but it's not the energy you really want, but you get addicted to having that kind of energy. That's what drama does for our lives. So simple life hack, if you have any drama going on in your life, first life hack for that is this. Recite to yourself this phrase, I am not a victim. I am not a victim, because when you are in drama, it's usually that you are feeling victimized by someone else for something they said or did not do to you. So you are feeling victimized by something. So the first thing, if you feel any drama in your life, is to take back your power and say, I am not a victim. The next thing to do with drama, the next life hack, is to stop telling the story of the drama. Now, this comes from, and I'm not making anybody bad or pointing anybody out, but a few months ago, I heard somebody come in the front door, and the greeter said to this person, hello, how are you? That's a simple question, right? Oh, well, let me tell you what's going on. And they stood there right at the front door while this person told this drama-filled story to this person. And the person said to person A, I'm really sorry about that. You know, I'm really sorry to know that, but I hope things get better, or something like that, something very nice. Then I watched that person A go to the next person who said, hey, how are you? Yeah. Oh, well, let me tell you how I am. And I was suddenly very interested in this person. So I was watching this person go from person to person to person, like pollinating every little flower with their drama. And so when this person came up to me, I thought, I don't want the drama. I don't need no more drama in my life. As Miss Mary J. Blige says, no more drama. Mm-mm. That is my theme song. So when she came up to me, I, instead of saying, how are you, I looked at her and I said, oh my goodness, you are just filled with light and love today. And I gave her a hug. And I thought, I'm circumventing all of that stuff. So stop telling the story. And by the way, every time that story got told, it was a little bit bigger, by the way. Don't exaggerate things. And the last hack for drama is stop participating in it. Stop participating in it. If your family has drama, you don't have to participate. That's a hard choice sometimes, because we feel like we have to be part of it or something like that. Or if we don't participate, the dynamic suddenly changes, right? But when we don't participate, when we step away from the drama, whether it's at work or whatever, family, friends, we are changing the dynamic for them and for ourselves in a positive way. It's one less piece of drama that's happening in the situation. And if a few months ago I gave a talk about karma, what you do comes back to you, simple karma definition. And there are three things to do with karma. If there's drama happening to you, you have three choices karmically. One, you can continue it. Continue it means talking about it, participating in it, sending, you know, strongly worded emails that you spend 3 hours crafting so it's just right and all that kind of stuff. That's continuing the karma. Two is completing the karma, which means I'm going to stop. I'm not going to feed the karma any longer. The karma animal is not going to get fed by me. I mean the drama animal. And the third is you can create new karma, which means I'm not going to participate in that. Instead, I'm going to do something more positive and different. So those are my life hacks for drama. That's the number 7 situation. Number 6 on our life situations, negative people. Now, none of you have any negative people in your life. I'm very clear about that. But if you ever come across a negative person, whether in real life or on TV or anything, here's some simple things to do. By the way, a few weeks ago, I went to this industry event in my industry. And I saw this colleague that I hadn't seen for years. We used to work at the same place, and I hadn't seen this colleague for years. So I was happy to see her, and I came up to her, and this is exactly how it happened. I'm not exaggerating in telling this story. This is exactly how it happened. I came up to her, and I sat down next to her, and I said, "Oh, wow, it's so great to see you. How the heck are you?" She said, "Well, I'm still 2 years away from retirement, and I don't know how I'm going to live after I retire, and I don't know how I'm going to pay my bills." And I said, I look just like you do now. I was like, "Okay. I'm sorry to hear that. How else are you?" And she said, "Well, you know, I'm going to have to move. I'm going to have to move because I can't afford my house anymore. The money I'm going to get from the sale of the house isn't really enough to buy anything new. So I think I'm going to have to move to a cheaper location." And I said, "Oh, okay. Okay." That's a definition, by the way, of a negative person. There was nothing else. There wasn't, "Oh, it's great to see you," or anything like that. She just went right into this negativity. Mm-hmm. Now, life hack. First life hack for negative people. This is something that I learned or developed many years ago when I was at Mile High Church, which is a church like this in Denver, a gigantic church in this movement. And I was in a practitioner class, and we were talking about this. And somehow, I don't even remember how this story came up, but how many of you remember the TV show Gomer Pyle? Bet you never thought you'd hear about Gomer Pyle today. And Gomer Pyle had a unique way of talking, shall we say, you know, "Golly," and all that stuff. Anyway, so we were talking about negative people and how to just kind of stop ourselves mentally when people start to be negative in front of us. And I just blurted out what I had just seen on a rerun of Gomer Pyle, which was him going, "Cancel, cancel." And the whole class erupted in laughter. And so from that point on, when people were negative to me, in my head, I would just look at them and say, mentally, "Cancel, cancel," because I didn't want to catch the negativity, right? I didn't want to do that. And I thought, "Cancel, cancel, cancel that negativity." And also for them as well, cancel, cancel the negativity. So now, when somebody's negative to you, you can picture me pretending to be Gomer Pyle going, "Cancel, cancel." Well, maybe we can all do it on the count of three in that kind of Gomer Pyle Southern accent. 1, 2, 3. Cancel, cancel. See? It works, right? And it's fun. But the next hack for negative people is this. Refocus on the positive. So with this woman that I had met with at this industry event, and she was saying these negative things. So I said to her, I thought, cancel, cancel, reframe. So I said to her, "Well, let me tell you this. You look fabulous. And clearly, things are going well for you at work because here you are, and you just look great, and we're at this industry event, and who would have thought all those years later that here we would be, and you know, I refocused to a positive place. Her response. By the way, so refocusing on the positive oftentimes works, and it helps people kind of get back into that positive track, which is a nice thing for us to do to help them get back into a positive place, right? So that works oftentimes. In this particular case, it didn't work because when I said that you look great and all this stuff, her response was, well, I have arthritis in my feet. And my back hurts. And she had something else going wrong with her, something like that. And I said, well, honey, it doesn't show. And she said, it feels. And I was like, okay. So the third hack with negative people is when they just won't get on the positive track.
Cancel.
You have to move on. Sometimes you have to distance yourself as much as you can from negative people, yes? So that may mean family members. You can't necessarily cut every person out of your life that's negative. I get that. But you can move them as far away from you as you can, feel comfortable with, so that you're not infused with that. And then you can be your own positive self, which is a great example for them to actually watch. But sometimes you do have to move away from negative people. And I'll never forget that great line in the book, The Power of Decision by Raymond Charles Barker, where he says, do not try to make unhappy people happy, because oftentimes unhappy people are happy in their unhappiness. Yeah. Right? So why waste my energy when that's the thing that they want to do and that's what's making them happy? I can move on down the road. There is a funny coda to this story with this woman, by the way, where she said, she goes, so I was already thinking, how do I get up and move to somewhere else? And she said, so how are you doing? And I said, I'm doing great, actually. Really, I'm doing fantastically. And I said, I could complain about a few things, but why? You know, just kind of pointing out that I could complain, but why do it? And her response to me was this. She goes, I know, that's right. Stay positive, right? Oh, my God. She cracked me up. All right. Number five in the life situations with the life hacks. When you feel unloved or unappreciated. Oh. Okay. Well, you get the idea, right? Unloved or unappreciated. We could do a series of talks about this. But this is life hacks, and this is fun. Summer talk, so I'm just going to keep it that in that mood. So when you feel unloved or unappreciated, the first thing that you need to do is you need to find a way to circumvent that, okay? So I'm what they call a highly functioning introvert. I actually am an introvert, believe it or not, but I'm a highly functioning one, so I can actually get myself going when I have to do it. But inside, I'm still the introvert, and I'm the person that likes to be on the wall watching things, but in my job, I usually can't do that. But that's my nature. But sometimes when I'm in that nature, I can be in a room and I can think, oh, I feel so unseen. Has anybody ever felt invisible or unseen, right? So that's feeling unappreciated or unloved. So I had to learn something, which was kind of a skill that I had to learn so that I didn't feel that way. Because even though I felt introverted, when I'd go home, I would feel unappreciated or unseen or unloved. So I developed this little hack, life hack, and it's this. When I go to a meeting or anything like that, even if it's a family meeting, a work meeting, whatever, I try to find as many ways as I can to use the word love. And what I've discovered is when I do that, I connect with people, and of course, because that's a science of mind principle. That's a spiritual law. What you want, you put out first. So I do simple things like I will say, I love that necklace to somebody. Who, by the way, doesn't want to hear something like that, right? I love that necklace. And sometimes that person will say, oh, thanks. And you know, you can tell, move on. But other times they'll say, oh, thank you. I bought this in Paris. Paris, I love Paris. And the next thing you know, now you're connecting and having a situation. It's fun to think. It makes a game out of it, too. How many ways can I love in this meeting. I love that tattoo. I love this food. I love the music. I love this room. I love this weather. And you do that with each person, and you're going to find that you connect much more quickly and deeply with people. That's a good life hack. Do I have any other? You love that. Thank you. Right. So, yeah, that's a hack. The first thing is to say to yourself, I am connected to everyone. Right? Because that what's different, when you say that, what happens is, before saying that, oftentimes people, and I will include myself sometimes in the past, will go into a room and think, nobody wants to connect with me. Or they don't love me, or they don't notice me. But when I change my thought and say, I am connected to everyone, now I know that I'm connected. They may not know it, but now I know it. And that changes the dynamic and the power. Then you do the love everything. So how many ways can you love? Next hack, or next life situation that we're gonna hack is feeling overwhelmed. This is the one that I inspired by myself, because this is my thing. I find myself feeling overwhelmed a lot. And I know a lot of you all do too, because you tell me that you do, or I read your emails where you say you are. And feeling overwhelmed can mean a lot of different things, and you can feel overwhelmed by people, by situations, by health, by job. You can feel overwhelmed a lot. And truthfully, there's a lot of stuff that we do in our lives, right? I mean, we do a lot of stuff. And it takes a lot to do your house and to do your job and to do your, you know, all the things you have to do for yourself and for your family and on and on. So here's the hack for overwhelm. There's two hacks, and they both were given to me by my friend Julia Cameron, who wrote the book The Artist's Way. So the first hack is a nature break, take a walk. So she had called me one time, and I said, Julia, I can't talk, I'm overwhelmed, I've got so much going on, I can't talk right now. And she said, hang up the phone, go take a walk around the block, and call me back. And I said, I don't think you heard me. I'm overwhelmed, I'm busy, I'm too busy, I can't talk right now. Hang up the phone, go walk around the block and call me right back. And then she hung up on me. So I couldn't refuse. All right. So I thought, I'm so busy. I can't believe I'm doing this. And I get up out of my office and I go outside and I walk around the block, and it's one of the big New York blocks that takes forever to walk around. And by gosh, by the time I came back in, I felt so much better. I felt clearer. I was happier. I had some solutions that came while I was walking. I got inspired by some solutions for some of the things that were overwhelming me. And it was so different. And I called her up and I said, how did you know? And she goes, basically what she said was, when we feel overwhelmed, we're in our heads. But when we go take a walk, and in New York, you know, that's as nature as you can get unless you're near one of the parks, but that's good enough. But you, anywhere you are, just go out. And she says, what it does is it takes you out of here and into your body, and you can now have a bigger experience, and you can step out of the thing that's overwhelming you into the larger life. And she said, it's amazing how that will just turn the tide for you. And I said, you are so right. And now I'm so excited, and now I can't talk to you because I have a lot of things that I just got inspired to do. But anyway, that's the first hack for when you feel overwhelmed. The next hack when you feel overwhelmed is this one. Hello. Is there somebody there? Okay. Is this one. This was another call that I had. There he is. Everybody, Stan Granda. So there was another time when I was feeling overwhelmed in my life, and of course, who should call me again but Ms. Julia Cameron? And I said, again, I can't talk on the phone. I'm really overwhelmed. I'm really busy. I've got all these things that seem to have gone wrong. You know, there's fires everywhere, and I have to put them out and all this stuff. And there was a long silence, and she goes, I wrote a new prayer. And I was like, what? I just told her I have all this stuff, all these emergencies, you know, that are happening, all this. And her response is, I wrote a new prayer? That's her response to me. So I said to her, uh-huh, that's very good. And she goes, would you like to know what it is? All right. And she said, I wrote this prayer when I was feeling like there were emergencies popping up everywhere in my life and there were things to do. And I wrote this prayer. And I said, okay. And she says, it's very short. And I said, okay, what's the prayer? And she said, this is the prayer. There are no emergencies. Long silence. I said, oh, that's the whole prayer. Okay, that's the whole prayer. She goes, yes, that's the whole prayer. And I said, okay, why did you write that prayer? What happened? And she said, I wrote that prayer because I realized I kept saying to myself over and over in my head, I'm so overwhelmed. There are so many emergencies I have to take care of. And every time I said that to myself, it was like I was praying to life that that's what I wanted more of. Oh, okay. And she said, but when I said this and I started saying, there are no emergencies, now I was praying a new prayer to life. And I said, well, how did it work out for you? And she says, I don't have any emergencies. So I started using that mantra. When things get really overwhelming, I remember that and I just start going, there are no emergencies. Now, clearly, asterisk, small print at the bottom, sometimes are emergencies. If you cut something or have a heart attack or your house is burning, that's an emergency. Don't stand there and say there are no emergencies. Take care of those kinds of emergencies. Other than that, say to yourself, there are no emergencies. Isn't that a good life hack? Doesn't it feel good to say it? Let's say it on the count of three. One, two, three. There are no emergencies. Now you're in control and you can prioritize and you can make choices instead of being paralyzed by this. All right, I got to keep going. Next life situation is, there are no emergencies. Number three, I'm broke. I can't afford it. I'm not prosperous. I don't have enough money. I hear this from a lot of people, even though this year we're focusing on prosperity by having the Prosperity Club and just having that general attitude in our minds about prosperity. So, the first life hack, if you are feeling financially challenged in any possible way at all, is this. Stop affirming it. Stop saying it. Stop telling yourself and others how broke you are. Stop affirming it. Remember, Julia Cameron's prayer was one line, there are no emergencies. We can create a better phrase to use than, I'm so broke, or I don't have enough, or I never have enough. That's something I hear too. I just never seem to have enough. Stop affirming it, okay? Now, the next life hack for this, if you are feeling financially strained in any possible way, is the most basic of all the spiritual laws. It's the easiest life hack that there is. And it is this, give what you want. That is spiritual law 101, the first spiritual law. It's called the law of circulation. What it is that you want, you start circulating it into the world. Remember we talked about feeling unloved and seeing how many times we can say the word love? But that's the same concept. And it's this way with finances. What happens is people feel tight and they hold what they have and they hold it like this and say, I'll give when I have more. But how can more come in? Right. Because you're tight-fisted. But when you do this and are generous, what a beautiful word, when you are generous, then life gets to be generous with you. I'm not saying spend every, you know, make foolish choices and take everything out of savings and just give it away. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying give in a way that makes you feel happy. Give till it feels good. Give till you feel like, oh, that feels so generous. It works, because when you are generous with life, life is generous in return, because that's how life works. Now, connected to that is this. Make abundance fun. Make it fun. If you feel like you don't have enough, then find fun ways to have more. In the Prosperity Club that we had at the beginning of the year, I said, one of the things I did when I didn't have anything and I needed like $100, which is what I needed to make all the difference just to live the rest of the month, is I started doing things like, I just went around my apartment and I thought, I'm gonna pull 10 things today that I no longer need. So I walked around my then apartment. It was a tiny studio apartment, I mean tiny, but I pulled out 10 things I no longer needed. There were some books, there were some CDs, a pair of clothing or something like that. And I went onto eBay, free. I took just snapshots, and I'm certainly not practiced at doing this. I took snapshots, loaded them up on eBay, and wrote descriptions, and put them on there, and they sold. Now, some of the things sold for $1 plus shipping and handling. That's fine. Now I had $1, and I had something out of the apartment, and I was doing what in spirituality terms is the law of circulation. I was putting it back out into the world, getting something for it and putting it back out in the world. But I also was surprised. One CD I had sold for $40. Whoa. I didn't know why. I just didn't want the CD anymore. And I got $40 from it for maybe 5 minutes of effort. And by the end of the month, those 10 items, guess how much they added up to? $100, the same $100 that I needed. And I had fun and I had more room in my apartment. I cleared out space so that life could give me more, and I had fun. I also tried to find as many free events as I could. So I started doing things I never would have done had I had a lot of money, because those are the things that you look at and think, oh, I'll do those someday. But now they had free days and I didn't have any cash, so I did them. So I saw museums, they have free days at the Statue of Liberty, they have free days here, they have free days there. I had more fun. I had more fun creating more. One other fun tip, another fun way to bring in abundance, another small life hack is this. And I learned about it years and years ago. A speaker came in and was talking about prosperity. And she said, oftentimes when we feel like we can't earn more, we can't give, she says, we use the word can't. And in our heads, we think, well, I can't, but who can? God can. It says it right in the Bible, I can do all things through God, right? So God can. If I can't, God can. But in our teaching, there's no separation between us and God. So it's that God part of ourselves that can. So she said, here's your assignment. She said, go home and open up a can of something. Tomatoes, lima beans. Peas, whatever you have. Open up a can, eat whatever's in there, obviously. Clean out the can, take off the wrapper. She said, get a piece of paper, cut it so that it wraps around the can. And she said, write these words, God can. And she said, now you have a God can. And she said, at the end of every day, take your what's left in your pockets and put it in the God can. That's the fund that you will know that life can do something with. And she said at first when she started doing this, she just had like nickels or pennies or dimes or something. And every week she would take what was in her God can and she would take it to her spiritual center and she'd put it in the offering when it came around. And she said she was embarrassed because it was a lot of coins, you know, and it made all the noise. But that was the money. And she said, every time she did it, she said, I don't know how this money can bless me, but God can. God can bless me with this money. And she said, then it got to be fun. She started getting blessings. She said, then it got to be fun to see how much money I could put in the God can. Because she said, then I started putting in bills. First it was dollar bills, and then she said eventually it was $5 bills, and then $20 bills. She goes, when I started putting $100 bills in the God can, she said, I knew this stuff was working like I never even thought it could. Isn't that a fun life hack, right? Are you liking the life hacks?
Yes.
Okay, there's two more, quickly. The next situation is, I hear this all the time from people, I feel stuck. I'm stuck creatively, I'm stuck in my relationship, I'm stuck in my job, I'm stuck whatever. very quickly, here's how to get unstuck in any area of your life, okay? Picture yourself in the area that you're stuck. Put it to the side. Next, get out a sheet of paper and a pencil or pen and think to yourself, what is unfinished in my life? What are all the unfinished, not relating to that thing necessarily, just in life. What are all the things that I still have to finish that are just kind of waiting for me to finish them? Emails, letters, some phone calls I have to do. Right, I'm overdue on my doctor's appointments and my, when was the last time I went to the eye doctor? Oh, 2 years ago, okay, that's undone. Dentist, this and this. My pets, are they up to date on everything? What else is undone? Let's see. Oh, I've got some projects at work that are undone that I need to do. And you just keep doing it. And then I've got to do the garden. And then what else is undone? Here's a simple way to figure out some things that are undone. What do I need to clean? Let's see, clean my garage. I've got to clean the patio. I've got to clean out the kitchen. I've got to clean this. And what do you need to clean out? Oh. My bedroom closet, got to clean out. That drawer I've been meaning to clean out and stuff. And you make a list of all the things that are kind of undone in your life. And then you start finishing them. And if you really want to turbocharge yourself, pick the one that you want to do least and do that one first. Now, what will happen is you will find as you start finishing things on your list, you are unstuck automatically over here. When you are stuck, finish something. The reason it works is because when you're stuck, that means your energy is stopped. And we know that it's harder to move a car that is completely stopped than it is to move one that even has a slight motion to it, right? So what you're doing is you're creating motion in your life. You're creating movement in your life, which means that now you're not stuck in any part of your life. So that's the hack for that. Finally, the number one situation that I hear the most here is this one. Oh, finish something. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. I'm unsure of what to do. Oh, I've got to finish this quickly. I'm unsure of what to do. I'm unsure of what to do with my job. I'm unsure what to do with my relationship. I don't know what the next step is. Spiritually speaking, well, actually, most of the time we do know what the next step is. We just don't want to do it. That's the truth. But spiritually speaking, there are four movements. And the four movements are these. Oh, stop affirming it first. The four movements are these. Number one, stand still. There is power in standing still. I learned this in my business, which is sometimes something would happen and my employees would want to just react really quickly and you know, deal with it, and I'd say, let's just stand still today. Let's wait and see what happens. And oftentimes, those situations work themselves out, okay? There's power in standing still as long as you're not using it to avoid something. The second spiritual movement is to go backwards. So sometimes when you move forward with something, there's something that you feel like it's nagging you, and it's like, I think there's something unfinished that I need to do first. That happens in relationships, for instance, a lot. Where it's like, I can't move forward because I still have some unfinished business. Maybe I need to sit down or do forgiveness work or whatever. And that also happens a lot in business. The next spiritual movement is go forward with caution, meaning dip a toe in. If you feel like you want to move forward with it, dip a toe in and see. Do some research, maybe make a quick step, one step forward, you know, and kind of tentatively move that phrase, crawl, walk, run. Start with a crawl. Just get into it a little bit. And the fourth spiritual movement is this, go forward with vigor, which means just do it. Go forward with joy and have fun. If you write these four on a piece of paper, these four movements, and you say, I don't know what to do, and you just kind of meditate on these four, you will know, you will be gravitated towards one of these, and you will know that that's the movement I need to do in this situation. Those are my life hacks, but there's one last life hack that's your bonus life hack. Start the day with realization. Start the day at the highest and know that you are one with the one that is completely unlimited. When you wake up and you're still laying in bed, just start doing that. God is unlimited. I'm one with God. God is unlimited. I'm one with God. And at the end of the day, as you're laying in bed trying to get to sleep, do that same thing. Start and end the day with the highest, with this unlimitedness. And that will automatically take care of a lot of the things in between. So those are the life hacks, the fun summer life hacks for common situations. And what we're going to do now is we're going to pray into this so that we can embody it, so it's not just up here. Right now we come together in prayer, in this oneness. And we just quickly galloped through some life hacks, some simple practices, simple science of mind practices that help us in every area of our lives. And if we noticed what every single one of those life hacks was just allowing ourselves to reframe everything so we can see it through spiritual eyes. So we can take a moment and realize that everything that does happen to us, when we see it rightly, we can now feel empowered. We can learn from it and we can move forward in positive ways. So we know right now that there is that one presence that lifts us up and that fills us completely, that is the one power and presence that we hear about, but right now we feel it and we know it and we experience it. And we are now one with that feeling. I know that for myself and everyone listening to these words, that we are one. We are completely one with this. And in this space, we know that whatever we need in any given moment, we can be inspired in ways that life can bring us forward. We can be filled and move forward. Life is gently urging us always forward. And there are simple, simple, simple solutions to everything that is going on in our lives. I'm so grateful to know this and to feel and to believe and to trust and to experience life enacting itself as me, in me, and through me in this beautiful thing called life. I know this, I feel this, I'm so grateful to experience it, and I feel the gratitude of all the hearts listening right now. This is what life is meant to be. We know it, we believe it, we release it lovingly, joyfully, freely into life, into law. And we say, this is it. Together we say, and so it is. Amen.